Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program 321. That's program 321. Have a paper, pencil, pen ready so that you can mark that down. And at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you'll be able to order a copy, a tape copy, audio copy, or a CD of this program. We have singing, music, we've got some testimonials, some Bible reading, and a strong message that you won't want to miss, so make sure you stay tuned. Right now, let's go to the throne of the living God to ask Him to anoint this service. Father, open the windows of heaven. We know that You're living within us, those of us that are born again of the Spirit. You, Father, You, Jesus, You, Holy Spirit, are all one. You're the fullness, Jesus, of the Godhead bodily, and You're living in us, the entire Godhead, in us as well as You're everywhere. You're living in every human being that is born again of the Spirit, and You're also in the kingdom of heaven, and You're surveying everything in the entire universe. You're our great and almighty, holy, eternal God, and we praise You today, Lord, and we love You. We give You all the glory for everything that is good and was good and that was created. And Jesus, You, the Word, say that all things were created by You and for You. And therefore, everyone should pay full attention to the disciplining of the Holy Spirit so that we're able to be disciplined and pay strict attention to that. You're all that we need. There isn't anything else that we need in the whole universe. You're all that we need for today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow, and forever. You're all in all. You're totally all in the throughout the whole universe. Nothing else matters but being in You, and for us to be in You, and You to be in us. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Lord, I know whatever Your interest is today that You'll do it through me, because I believe that I'm Your vessel and that You called me to be Your vessel, someone that You could live in and talk in, somebody that You took a great amount of time in building my house for You to live in, which is Your house now. I've given it to You. My entire being over to You, and You've given Your entire self over to me. Lord, let this happen to those that are unsaved. Let the church, the undeveloped church out there, the church that isn't that deep, Lord, let it get deeper. We know that let them receive the fullness of You, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. You are all one. And let people order my literature entitled The Oneness of God, which shows that You, all the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. In the beginning, God said, and the Spirit moved upon the waters. That's God, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and let us, pluralistic God, make man in our image. That's plural. In our image, let us make man. Let us make him in our image. So we know, Father, that we look like You. And therefore, we shouldn't murder one another, because when we look at each other in the same image and likeness as You, then we know that we pay respect to the image and likeness of the living God. And we're supposed to do unto everyone as we would do unto You, and do unto others as we would do unto ourselves, or have done to ourselves. Lord, let people receive the reality of everything that You want them to receive. Let their souls be born again in the Spirit. Let the world begin uniting with You in spirit and in truth. Let us, Lord, the kingdom of heaven unite here on earth, not to be united with false religions, or to be united with satanic isms, but to be united in the body of Christ, so that we can be members of your body, members of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that, Lord, others can go out and preach and teach the same gospel that I'm allowing you to preach and teach in and through me. We have to be willing to let you live out your life in and through us. We need to surrender ourselves to the fullness of you. We need to unite or surrender ourselves to the incarnation. We have to become the incarnate. You are to be the incarnation in us. You're incarnate in us. You need more people to live in, and you want to work in and through. We are the incarnate, the continuation of the incarnation of you. You, and the way we do that is to allow you to live out, to enter into us first, into our spirit, into our hearts, into our minds, so that you are able to do the things that only you can do in this world. No one can keep the commandments and have love in their hearts, Lord, even after they're being lied about. They can be persecuted and prosecuted falsely with false witnesses, the way that the evil, wicked people in this world that have not yet been regenerated are doing. Lord, let the people that are not regenerated in the government and in every phase of government, the judicial, the Congress, the Senate, the White House, let them all become born again of the Spirit, so that they'll not think of themselves as being cunning anymore and that smart by disobeying the things that you say and not letting you live out your life in them. We're not to be murdering millions of people, not even one person, Lord. And we see these people in the White House saying that they're attacking us and they're trying to blow us up. What do you think they need to know and take a look at their own selves, Father, to tell that, what about all these people that they've murdered and how they're allowing little babies to be murdered, first-degree murdered by abortion laws? Certainly, if it was the woman's life, but it's not. They're enticing people to commit fornication. They're enticing people to be homosexuals. The media is allowing these young men that have believed themselves to be homosexuals, that they were born that way. They know they weren't. And even if they don't know it, Lord, give such a strong message today to where people realize that they are made from the dirt of the ground by you, and that you blew your breath into them, giving them temporal life. And now that you want to, after you've died for them and shed your blood, you want to take all their former sins away. And you want to now blow the Holy Spirit into their nostrils so that they have the strength to believe the truth and obey the truth. Lord, we ask that this is done in this message today, that millions or billions of human souls will be saved, and that the church, the body of Christ, not the isms, Catholicisms, and all these things that are false doctrine, and Buddhism, and Hinduism, and Shintoism, and Muslimism, all these things. Those Muslims are just a division of the Vatican. When you're talking to a Muslim, you're talking to a Catholic. Catholics rose these people up to do the evil that they're doing today so that the Vatican would not take the blame for it, but you want in me to let people know the things that are going on in this world so that they can know who the devil is and where he's coming from. Lord, you're doing this so souls could be saved and the church strengthened. And we're asking that you really do it in a powerful way. You never do anything that's not powerful. But we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So now we have a song that I sang. It's Let Him Be All You Need. And when I'm saying all you need, that means everything. You don't need anything else in this whole world but Jesus. So let Him, Jesus, be everything that you need for today, tomorrow, and forever.
Let it be all you need for tomorrow.
When life is a struggle and hurt gets you down, He won't be in your way, just around. If you're needing a shoulder when your feet are low, let Him be all you need for tomorrow. Let Him be all you need to get by, and He'll be the sun in your.
Let Him be what you, all you need, everything that you need. You don't need anything else. You don't need anyone but Jesus, because there's no one else that's going to be able to get you into the kingdom of heaven but Him. No religion, no Buddha, no Muhammad, no any kind of Paramahansa Yogananda, nobody. I cannot get you into the kingdom of heaven, but I can sure tell you the way how. And Jesus is the only way. Yes, Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the way. I'm the way to the kingdom of heaven. I am the truth and the truthful way into the kingdom of heaven. And I am the life. There is no life eternal but in me. Any man attempting to get into the heaven, the kingdom of heaven any other way than by me is a thief and a liar. And I can guarantee you from the word of God that no thief or liar is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you know, the Bible says that His word, Jesus, is God, and that His word is a living word because Jesus is not dead. So I'm going to have Sharon read some passage here, two verses from, I think it's 1 Kings, is it not?
Yes.
In chapter 7. And you would not believe, most people when they read this, I was reading that this morning, the Lord led me right to it, and it, I thought, well, what is it out of this living word? This word is life. He said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit. What in this word is spirit and life? Because it's talking about the building of Solomon's own house. His own house, and it tells about how many cubits long it is, 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide. It has all these different beams made out of cedar from the forest in Lebanon. But what is living about that? What is spiritual? What's, is there a deep deeper meaning than just talking about the boards and where the boards come and from the forest, and it had to be from a certain forest. And different people had to be given the wisdom from the Lord of how to be a carpenter, how to be a to construct this house. But anyway, go ahead. And so there is a deep meaning to it. It's and I'm just wondering if you know what the meaning of all this is, because I asked the people that were around me. There was around four people here beside myself, five people, and they didn't know what it was. And so I told them, and they were amazed at the livingness, the spirit and the life. Every word that you read from the Bible, if you ponder it, if you consider it, if you really consider, or you're considering meditating on it, of course, you'll see that there is a deeper meaning to everything in the Bible than you realize. And that's what the Lord wants to do. In order for you to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, you have to first believe that the Word is what the Lord says it is. It is Him, and it is spirit and life. The words that are spoken are all spirit, and they are life. So go ahead. Let's hear what is said here in 1 Kings chapter 7, the first two verses.
But Solomon was building his own house.
His own house, okay? That's a key word there, is his own. Because you have to build your own house. Well, I thought the Lord did that, yes. But you have to take the initiative to build your house fit for a king to live in. Amen?
Amen.
So the house, in other words, you are the living, the house of the Lord, and you have to build your house up fit for Christ to live in. And what's so important about Christ living in your body, in your soul, in your spirit? It's important because if the same spirit, the same word, the same construction is in you as was in Christ, if the same spirit that was living in Christ lives in you, then on the last day God will pull you up, your house that you built with the Word of God. Whenever I build a house, I build hundreds of houses already in my life, and I don't consider myself a construction man, because I just don't like titles. I just do what I do. And if you want to say, oh, he's a construction man, I don't want you to zero in that part. My construction company is to help you construct your house, but you have to receive what I'm saying from the Lord. Remember, it's not from me, it's from the Lord, in order for the house that your spirit is living in, for it to be constructed properly. But in this scripture here, it says that King Solomon was building his house, the outward house that he's going to live in. It's like an actual house. Not at this point pertaining to the Lord, but the Lord let him build his house. Okay, then go ahead.
But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished.
13 years. Now, I built a house one time. It was 18,500 square feet. And what it was I dug a hole in the ground. It was like 8,500 square feet. I had bulldozers go in and on the side of a mountain and build, plow into that mountain to where one side of the house could look out over the Arkansas River and down in the valley, and then the Arkansas River in the distance, and you could see Mount Pettigene way out yonder, as they say, down south. And it says in the Bible, too, I cast yonder mountain into the sea. Amen. So anyway, and then I spanned a steel building over the top of this 8,500 square foot room that we built down below. Had ceilings and everything, and that was 18,500 square feet. And it took us 2 to 3 years to build it. But here, this one took how many years? 13 years to build King Solomon's house with all the staff he had and all the carpenters and the stonemasons and everything. That's a long time to build a house. That house must have really been something. Okay, my house was 100 feet by 100 feet. That's 10,000 square feet on top, and 100 by 85 down below. So that's 18,500 square feet. It was a pretty good size house. I actually prefer a small house, but the reason mine was so big is because several hundred people would come into the basement at night sometimes when we were. I was ruling on different problems that were in the church. There would be people accusing one another of something, and so the Bible tells us that we have to rule according to the Word of God. And now this is the living God is the Word, and so if we don't do what God says, in other words, if we don't rule according to this living Word, which is alive, that's why when you're reading a scripture like this, what it did, it quickened to me and brought these things up that I'm talking about right now. And it's real, it's truthful. And there's no other truth in the world but the truth of God. The truth is that the Bible says that the Antichrist, and they're making jokes about the Antichrist. They're not taking it seriously. You see some guy over in Miami that says he's God, and he's having people mark 666 on their necks and on their foreheads and everything, saying that there's a bad explanation of the Antichrist in the Bible, that it just means that he's Christ. The Bible says that in the last days people will say, there's Christ, here's Christ, I'm Christ, all this stuff. He said, believe them not. And what the Bible states is that it's the truth. The Antichrist means that this is the body, that the spirit of Satan in it, and it is Satan. And Satan is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, and all those that believe that Satan is the way to go. And you can see them getting tattoos on their arms and legs and 666. Well, this man is an antichrist. He's not Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said, believe them not. He says, behold, I come in clouds, and every eye on the face of this earth shall see me. Okay, so this Puerto Rican man in Miami, or anybody else that says they're Christ, believe them not. For he says, I come in clouds, and every eye shall see me. God is bigger than this little Puerto Rican, okay? And he's got a bunch of people that don't read the Bible, that can't, that don't know these scriptures. Every eye shall see me. So, and if you want to build your house the proper way, you have to receive, not with this little Puerto Rican, or this little Jew, or this little Gentile of some other, all these different nationalities. So you have to believe what the Lord says, amen? Because amen. God is the Word, not this Puerto Rican, and God is Jewish, amen? Not amen. A Puerto Rican. And the Bible states that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that it will be a part Jew. He's going to be part Jew, part Gentiles, because it says that he's not going to be like his fathers, the fathers like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who believed God and did not at all disbelieve God. This guy will be part of the Vatican, because we see that the Antichrist sits in the city of the seven mountains, and that is Rome. And if you want a ticket to Rome, you go to the airlines, or even to the Cunard lines, which is these big ships, like the new Queen Mary II, or the QE2, the Queen Elizabeth II. Ask them if you want to go to the city of the seven mountains, and they'll say, well, that's Rome. And Cunard will tell you, well, we don't really go there. What you'll have to do is we go to these other places, but you can get off of there and go to Venice and catch the Sol Olympia if you want to go by a ship. And that's a Greek ship. And it'll take you to Haifa, Israel. And or if you want to go to Rome, well, then you would take the QE2 to Southampton and get off there, and then go on the train from there to over to Dover, England, and then go across the channel to Calais, France, and then rent a car and then drive to Rome, through Paris or Rome, whatever. But this Antichrist spirit is everywhere. And so it's not the way to build your house. The body that you live in is not the right way to build up the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the house of God. The kingdom of heaven is within you, and you must build it up with the Word of God, because the Word of God is living. And the more of the Word of God that you accept into your vessel, and there's no double meanings or extra meanings. Now, the King James Version, they have a few things that are not exactly like the Aramaic says, but it has the same meaning. Like, for instance, it'll say that it's easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But with God, all things are possible. In other words, if a rich man forsakes his riches and becomes a Christian, that it's possible if he'll do what the Lord says, only then, all right? But, and he says, so even though it means that it's easier for something else to go through, do you remember what the Aramaic says?
A rope.
Yeah, it's easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle. So what's the difference, really? I mean, it's just giving a parable. It's easier for a house or a building to go through the eye of a needle. A rope, a house, a skip rope, a jump rope, a television set, is something to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. It still has the same meaning, right?
Right.
But all things, you know, but with God, all things are possible. If a rich man, like Joseph of Arimathea, lays down his life, gives the Lord the tomb to live in, if you can get in there. Just don't make riches your God. I mean, people have got money stacked up in banks and everything, and they don't give one. They'll sponsor all kinds of things in the world, but they won't do anything for the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't, well, then that's what it means. It's easier for a building, a camel, a rope to go through the eye of a needle than it would be, or like an elephant to go through the eye of a needle, or a giraffe to go through an eye of a needle. That's the same meaning, right?
Right.
In other words, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. If you'll do what God says, then it's very possible for you rich guys and girls to get into the kingdom of heaven. But if not, if you're just like a miser and you're trying to see how much gold you can accrue, so you can impress some people rather than God, well, then it's impossible for you to get in. It's easier for good car, an automobile, to go through the eye of a needle, right?
Right.
So what's the difference? Amen?
Amen.
It means the same thing. So even though the King James Version, they missed it on that particular point, it still means the same thing. So the King James Version is the Bible that you need to read. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's another thing that, what we want to do is going to finish this up here. So what this is talking about, the deep living meaning of this word, and remember, the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. As a matter of the fact, the Word was God. Amen?
Amen.
The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen?
Amen.
And what happened to the Word? Well, in order to save humanity, the Word, God himself, had to step into carnation. He had to become incarnate. He had to enter into human flesh. And then when he moved into human flesh, the flesh wasn't God, because it was just carne. It was meat, flesh. And this meat, this flesh, was called Jesus Christ. That was his name, which means, you know, the Lord, God. He would become, he was God. God moved into this human flesh, and therefore he was interior, inside God. And that same God, by the Holy Spirit, can enter into you, and God can be living in you. That doesn't make your flesh God. The flesh profits nothing. There isn't any profit to your flesh whatsoever, with the exception of that it is a house to build on the interior for God. So when this baby of the Spirit enters into you, then you have to begin building that baby up. The babe, Christ Jesus, enters into you, and then you feed that babe in you the Word of God. And then pretty soon, the more you read the Bible, which is spirit and life, then the more Christ grows up into you and becomes a young boy. Then he becomes a young man. The more you read and understand the Scripture, and you don't shine it on like it's not living, that it's not spirit and truth. The words Jesus said that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So, in other words, Christ, the Bible states that he is the living word. So when I was reading these scriptures today, just about Solomon's house that he was building for 13 years, I realized that these words have some deeper meaning than just a house made out of cedars that came from the forest of Lebanon. These beams and these pillars. So let's read a little bit more.
But Solomon was building his own house.
His own house. Remember, you have to build your own house. Well, how do we do that? You build it with that which is spirit and life. Now, when I want to build the foundation, well, I'll go get some mortar, some cement. Okay, but when you're building a spiritual house, you have to find the different products, the building materials, the spiritual building materials in the Word of God to build your own house. You have to be true to yourself first before you can do anything for others. You have to build your own house before you can get the Word of God out. Because if you are not built up by spirit and by truth and life in you, if you're not a creature of the living Word, which is spirit and life, then you're not going to be able to do anything for the Lord. So the first thing you have to do is pay attention to your own house so that there's something in it that you can give to others. If you don't have anything in you, then you've got nothing to give to anybody. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to be built. That's why the emphasis on his own house. Amen?
Amen.
For him to live in. He was a king. Okay, but we're not building this house for Solomon. We're building our house for the King of Kings to live in and work in and live out his life in. Okay, so it has to be built with supernatural building materials. Materials, not with cement and iron or cedars from Lebanon, but from the living Word, okay, which the living Word is what holds the earth up and keeps it spinning the proper way and that keeps the sun and the moon and the stars up. So the building materials that we're using are much more powerful because somebody much more powerful than Solomon is going to be living in us. Amen?
Amen.
In this house of ours that the Lord expects us to build, so it'll be a fitting place for the King of Kings, I might add, to stay in. And when we give, when we're building this house, we're not building it just for a room for him, say, Lord, okay, we've arranged a bedroom for you up on the second floor. No, this king wants the whole house. Okay, so you have to be careful to build it the right way. Amen?
Amen.
You have to use not false doctrine to build God's house or your own house for God to live in. But you have to use, not heresy, but the words that are Spirit, Holy Spirit, and life. All right? So isn't this something where it's just this much? I don't think we even finished the first verse, have we?
No.
Okay, where the Lord showed me that this word, everything, is living. Amen?
Amen.
It has to be your house. Your house has to be alive. Because the Lord is not going to live in a dead house. Well, you could invite him into the dead. There's more than just inviting him in. Yes, you invite him in and he's there. But now he wants you to use him, the word, to refurbish, to fix his house to where it's presentable for him to live in. He doesn't want to live in a dead house, a house that isn't reading the word daily, a house that isn't obeying the living word, the spirit and life daily. He wants to live out his life in and through you. Okay, so read the rest of this now.
But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house.
13 years. So, well, what about Paul? The Apostle Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his heart to the Lord after he saw him. He stopped murdering and taking Christians to prison, and he became a new creature. The things that he used to do, he hated now. And the things that he hated Christians, he now loves. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord wanted him to show this love towards the church and the brothers and sisters and his God's Word, because he hated the Word of God, which was Christ. The Word of God is God, is Jesus, Christ that he lived in, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one. And so Paul... Yeah, said he studied the Word, he studied God, he prayed to God for 17 years, so it took that long for God to build his house in Paul. Paul took 17 years preparing his vessel to be a vessel that could be used by the Lord, and the same thing happened with me. Susie and I were married for 17 years, and I kept pushing Susie to preach the gospel. And she was so sick she wanted me to, but I just said, you can do it better than I can. And then finally God took her and said, you have to do it. Your wife wasn't lying to you. She wasn't trying to be humble before you. She was telling you the truth. You preach very well, she said, and you teach very well. And you're very opinionated, she says, but you're using God's, not opinion, but truth. It sounds like that it's your opinionated to the general public. They think you're arrogant because you believe the Word of God so well. They think that you're puffed up because you're so sure that the Word of God is true that they don't like you and they want to persecute you. And this was the way Paul was. It took me 17 years to build my house, and I'm still building it because I want God to live in me more and more and more depth, okay? Mm-hmm. So it took Solomon 17 years to build the house that was just a house that was going to be destroyed later, but you can't destroy the house that you build for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Not the spiritual inward house. Now, they can destroy it, but you're still going to be raised up on the last day. Amen?
Amen.
So they can kill you. But the body, the flesh, profits nothing anyways if your spirit is filled up to where it's the house of God. And God is living in your spirit. In other words, you've allowed God to mix his Holy Spirit with your temporal spirit. If he's mixed in with your spirit then you have an everlasting spirit, because the Lord is mixed or mingled into your spirit. It's like a health food shake where you put in the protein, you put in some water or juice or something, And then you put in some vitamins and minerals and all the different additives that you want. Then you blend it up with maybe some egg whites and things like that. And all of a sudden you've got one thing, a protein drink. But you don't mention all the other things. Like if you order a cheeseburger, you've got bun, you've got a piece of cheese, you've got a piece of hamburger, you've got lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, onions, mustard, ketchup, and all these. But it's still, you don't mention all this. It's a hamburger. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Everything is included in the Holy Spirit, and you receive that as God. As Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're all one. Amen?
Amen.
You don't go in and say, give me lettuce, pickles, onions, ketchup, and mustard, and a piece of beef, and some cheese on it, and a bun. Do you? No, you say, give me a hamburger, right?
Right.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And then you eat it, and it's a hamburger in you, right?
Right.
But it's also all the other things that are included. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the way it is. The Holy Spirit has to build every corner. You've got to give God, you have to give Christ your whole being. He wants to live in every room. If you say, this is now your house, Lord, then you're the one that gets kicked out, and it's the Lord's house. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, he wants the whole thing, all or nothing at all. Okay, because if you don't receive him as your everything, all that you need for tomorrow, all you need for today, tomorrow, the next day, and every day until the time that you go up into the heavens, and you're going to keep building and refurbishing this house daily until the end. You have to continue building it. Amen?
Amen.
It's like a mansion that you built, and then there isn't enough room there, so you put add more additions to it. Amen?
Amen.
Keep building it. Keep refurbishing it. You don't want it to get rusty, or you don't want it to fall through itself, because then the devil will come and look in there and say, hey, it's been cleaned or refurbished, but there's no activity going on here. Let's take ourselves and seven more demons worse than the one that was cast out of I was cast out, and let's move in there so that man can no longer repent. That's the way it really goes. You see, when you learn the Word of God, you get deep with it. The Word of God is deep. It isn't that I'm deep, it's just that I have received some of the depth of the Lord. I don't believe I've received it all, because look at what I've received this morning, amen?
Amen.
About chapter 7 in 1 Kings, you know, the first and second verse. Let's continue a little bit more.
He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon.
Okay, so the lumber that he used came, the Bible states, from the forest of Lebanon. But the Bible says, he likens the building materials that build the house of God within you, your house, so that the Lord can live in it. We're still in the house because we don't get kicked out. What it is God mingles his Spirit inside of us with his Holy Spirit, which gives us immortality, eternal life. Now, we don't have eternal life until the Holy Spirit enters us. Jesus comes in with the Father by the Spirit and the Spirit and mingles himself into our spirit, and we grow in power, the power of God, as we receive these things. That this word, no matter how insignificant you may think it is, has this incredible deep meaning. And it even goes deeper than that, but time doesn't allow today for me to go even deeper with this. Because one of the depths is if you reject that Satan's house is in Rome, well, then you're rejecting part of the building materials for the house for you to build it up. And it's weak, because that's one of the beams. You must know where God said Satan sits. Amen?
Amen.
And God said Satan sits in Rome, the city of the seven mountains. So that's part of the building materials, so that you can know where the devil, where Satan, where the Antichrist sits. And he states that this government in the book of Daniel will be a world government. a one world government. Now, they talk about the old world, which was like Greece. It was like what we call today Iraq, which was Persia. Iran was Persia also. Persia had a vast territory back then. And so you could say, well, no, Iran was Persia. Well, it was Iran, Iraq, and many of the Arabic nations, all right? So if you study the Word of God, you'll know that. But here, if you don't receive those things, if you don't receive the living Word, well, then you're missing all this lumber from the cedars which come from the forest of Lebanon. Amen? Because these are supposed to be the best building materials in the old world at that time. But now the building materials are all must be spiritual. The nails, the building materials, the hammers. Is my word not like a hammer, the Lord says, that breaks the hard rock to pieces, your hard heart? Let it break your heart to pieces, because that stony heart of yours is worthless. Amen?
Amen.
So you see how much deeper it gets? Now, there's some other scriptures, you know, that if you don't receive them, then you're not receiving the building materials, the spiritual building materials to build your house fitting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to live in. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to know these things. So, you know, some people say, oh, it's so boring, the book of Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and verses. It's just so, hey, if that's boring to you, be bored to death in the kingdom of heaven. You'll never make it there. You know, more monotonous than anything is the pit of hell. God gave me a vision. I don't know if I've written this one, if it was like, my eyes were actually a fixture inside of a golf ball. And all you could see is these little indentations all around, but your eyes could only look forward, and it was real stark white inside. And it was like you couldn't move your eyes or anything, and it was real bright, so bright that it hurt your eyes. And it was the Lord showing me the monotony of hell. Then if you don't receive that, I mean the monotony of hell, and if you don't receive the fact from the Word of God, the building materials of the Lord, that hell is a place of torments, tailor-made for those that, like you take these very wealthy people today, they're living the life of Riley, so to speak. You know, there used to be a program saying, The Life of Riley, with William Bendix. I go back that far. And it's like, how horrible for those that have never worked in their life, that have just laid around and lounged around, like the Bible states that the homosexuals in those five cities of the plains that God ruined, not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but the other four cities of the plains for the homosexuals. They were very much like Palm Springs, where people just sit around in the sun, and they lie on reclining couches with bowls, not glasses of wine, but bowls of it. And these homosexuals and lesbians and fornicators and adulteresses and adulterers are just laying there lounging around, and somebody else is peeling grapes for them and dropping them into their, extracting the seeds, and then dropping them one at a time in each other's mouths, and having whatever it is that they want, like these people that have so much money that they can have whatever they want, and life becomes a bore. George Sanders wrote a suicide note. He's one of a great actor. And he says, life is a bore, and he took his life. But if you're in the living Word, it never becomes boring. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't receive that, well, then you're not going to have the building materials fitting for the Holy Spirit, which is the triune God, which is Christ, who built everything in the whole universe. He said it was built by him and for him. So we are built by the Holy Spirit. There's no possible way that you could take a heap of dirt and mold it into a beautiful creature like we are. You all know how beautiful you are, right? And to be able to make Earth move around and to conduct business and talk and everything and have a will within you that can teach you how to converse with one another or take a choice whether you're going to read novels or if you're going to read something that has an importance to it, like the living Word of God, that can put your soul together to where the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will have a desire to live within your house. And for you to think that God is important enough to put the words of God into you, to where if God is desirable enough for you to want Him to live in you, then you'll be desirable enough for Him to want for you to live in heaven with Him. Amen?
Amen.
But if you give no importance to the living Word and this house that the Lord said to build, and He let Solomon build his own house, well, then he would be able. See, now the Lord told Solomon not to marry people outside of the Jewish race. And not only that, but his own tribe. And he was from the tribe of Judah, because Jesus comes from the lineage of David, the lion from the tribe of Judah. He was a Jew. And you people that hate Jews, and you don't pay any attention to what God says, I'll bless them that bless you, the Jew, and I'll curse them that curse you, the Jews. I'll curse anybody that curses them. Well, you don't take that to heart, and you are missing a huge amount of the building materials, the spiritual building materials to build the house. Your house for God, because you better be concerned about yourself, because when you do, and you let the Lord build Himself into you, you receive every word. Man does not live by bread alone, Jesus told this devil on the mount of temptation, but by every word, every living word that proceedeth from the mouth of the living God. I see that my time is up, so if you want to receive the word of God, which is Jesus, then open your hearts right now and say this prayer. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the living God, the living Word. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And if I don't believe that, I'm not receiving the building materials for you to live in me, Father. And I believe, Father, that you raised Jesus, that body that's called Jesus Christ from the dead by the Holy Spirit that dwelt in Him. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in me, I'll be raised up on the last days. This is what the living Word says. I open up my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that even includes, that includes me, Father. That includes me, Jesus. That includes me, Holy Spirit. Therefore, I know you've heard me, because your word says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah, that you'll hear. Call on me and I'll hear you and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. The mighty things is that the living God moves into me now. Therefore, I know you have heard me and I know you have answered me and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord if you can. If you're driving, don't do that. Pull over to the side of the road and give all the God all the glory, all the praise and all the thanks in Jesus' name. And now, and make sure you read the word, get baptized in water, now fully submerged, and also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit for the ministry. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of program number 321, either a CD or a tape, audio tape of this. It's free of charge, and postage and handling is taken care of as well.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Don't let a day go that you don't use God's building materials to keep you in Him in your house. This is why I recorded a song called The Days. Don't let the days slip by. This is called The Days We Let Slip By. The song, Let Him Be All You Need for Tomorrow, was written by Gary S. Paxton. And the song that I'm going to sing for you, The Days We Let Slip By, was also written by Gary Paxton.
The days we let slip by forever never will return, like robins in the springtime. When a day is come and gone, it is then a part of eternity and time. The days we let's live by forever while we're putting off what we can do tomorrow. For us, tomorrow never comes, and we're the guilty ones. The days we let slip by, we'll never live again. Saved or lost to the clouds or fire below. The days we let's live by forever we will have to face when judgment comes before us. Then we'll fully be aware how much we should have cared. We'll cry to to live again.